Okay. Is it on now?
Yes.
Can you all hear me? Yeah? Okay, good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, yes, participation. I love it. Okay, so this morning we get to be a little selfish. Isn't that exciting? That's so exciting. All right. My title of my message is We Are. And we're just going to look at one passage of Scripture. So if you can get out your Bibles and follow with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Just going to start right into it. Okay, now, this message that I have for you is something that the Lord has kind of placed on my heart for a while, and this is the opportunity that I've had to give it. So it's not because it's like, okay, I'm going to give this message, then I'm leaving, bye. It's just this is the opportunity that I've been given. Okay, so we're going to start in chapter 4, verse 4, and I'm just going to read down to 16, and then we'll come back and we'll look at some verses that I want to point out. Okay. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service to the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in one knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature and attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes or deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, so first of all, we are the church. It's not a building. It's not a place that we meet. It's us. So no matter where we are, whether it's here in this building or it's at a special event or it's at a gymnasium or it's wherever, it's us. We are the church. And it says that in verse 6, where, let me see here. It says not in verse 6, but in verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit. So it's all of us together. We are called to be the church. That's us. Okay? Number 2, we are the ministry. And we find that in verse 11 through 13, where it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's for the work of the ministry. So the body of Christ may be built up. So it's us who do the ministry. It's us who are equipped by pastors, by evangelists, by teachers to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So we are to do the ministry. We are the ones who are to go out and to proclaim the word, speak the gospel to people, and show them the truth of what life is really all about. And it's all about the salvation that God has for us. All right, and number 3 is we are each, all of us are the single parts. And we find that in verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, each as each part does its work. So it's saying that the body of Christ holds together because we're all doing our part. We're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. And when each part does the work, the church comes to have more than one function. It's a place to be equipped and to be strengthened, and that's from the pastors and the teachers and the apostles and the prophets doing their job, doing their ministry that they're supposed to be doing. It's a place to give you, or it's a place to give your gifts and talents, and that's being a volunteer or supporting your church in doing what you're supposed to be doing, whatever God has put on your heart to do. We're not all supposed to volunteer in the same places, obviously, because you know, I love kids, but that's not my ideal place to volunteer. So everybody has their place that they love to volunteer, and God has placed that desire on your heart. So it's a place to give your gifts and talents. It's also a place for ministry for other people. So in our daily lives, we have our own ministry. And that's just, you know, in our workplace, in our home, teaching our kids what they're supposed to, or teaching our kids how to know what the word says and how to believe it. And, you know, talking to our coworkers who maybe don't believe in God, but that we're always there for them. We're not shoving it down their throats, but if they ever have questions, we're there. And we're never swaying from what we believe because of what they may think. We're always standing on what we know, and we're always doing our job. But the church is not just a place for us to come and equipped. It is that, but it also can be a ministry place. So when you have someone who comes in who doesn't know, or who is you know, not a Christian, this is a place of ministry that you can minister to them. You can be there for them. You can ask them, what did you think? And what are your views on it? And you can talk back and forth. And so it's a ministry for other people. Now, I think that God has given me this message just to challenge you a little bit. And if you don't feel that challenge in your heart, then that's fine. I'm not saying that everybody's in the wrong place that they should be. But I think that God has given me this message to tell you, or to challenge you in, are you supporting? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Are you supporting your church, your body of people, in your time or your talents or whatever it is, and or your money? It doesn't always have to be money. It doesn't always mean that you have to support something that we're doing and give money. You can give your time by, you know, the sportsman event, making bars. That takes time out of your day, but that's a volunteer thing. That's giving your time for what the Lord wants for this event that can change people's lives. But you can also go to the other end too far, to where you can suffer from something that I've heard called volunteeritis. And I will admit that I have suffered with that before. And I'll just give you a little bit of a background. When I was in Tulsa going to school, I was part of a church, and I was volunteering in their youth department. And it actually felt kind of like home, because it's their youth department's probably as big as our church is, and the main church is pretty big. But anyway, I loved it there, and I love volunteering. But I found that it probably started the first of this year in January, and I really noticed it when it was starting to come to graduation of when I was getting out of school. Probably around April, May is when I finally started to realize it, is that I was burning myself out. I wasn't getting my time to be able to be equipped by the pastor. I was always giving, giving, giving. I was volunteering so much that I didn't get to have my own time to go into what they call main service, which is just what we're doing right now. And so I was always in the youth department. I played on the band. I was a leader there, so I was sitting in the services making sure the kids weren't talking or being disruptive. You know, I was always watching them, pick them out, you know, go talk to them afterwards if I needed to. But it became taxing, because I would have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning every Sunday, and I would be there Wednesday night, and it just got so tough. And eventually, I saw people who said they were volunteers, but maybe weren't doing the volunteer work that they said they were doing, so I felt like I had to pick up their slack. And then we didn't have enough volunteers, so I felt like I had to do that too. And so I was doing all these things, and I was just getting pulled so many ways that I was just getting frustrated. Like, I didn't want to go to church because I was so angry. Well, not angry, but I was just frustrated because I was wearing myself out. And so you don't want to get to the place where you're wearing yourself out, where you feel like you don't want to go because you have so many responsibilities. It's good to give your time and it's good to have responsibilities, but you don't want to get so far that all you're doing and all you're coming to church for is it feels like a job. It feels like it's work. You have to come and volunteer or just come and be equipped with the right reasons. But you can't always rely on the church to do your ministry. That's what our personal lives are for. It's here as well, but it's also in our daily lives. So you can't say, it's not right to say that I come to church and I'm a good Christian and I'm in all these programs. I'm in, you know, I volunteer in the youth and I volunteer in the nursery and I do all these things every night. I come on Wednesday nights and I help with Big City Studios. I do all these things, but if you're not doing your own ministry in your personal life, then you're relying on other people to do your ministry. You're relying on the pastor to, you know, you invite people, and then you say, come to church, because the pastor has a really good thing to say. So it's like you think that you're not, and I'm not saying this is necessarily you, but you think maybe you don't have the right thing to say to them and that the pastor should say it. You don't think that I have the right thing to say. I don't feel like I should be the one to do it. I'll just invite them to church. Hopefully they come and they hear what the pastor has to say and they'll get saved. But it's not always the pastor's job. It's our job. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what we've been called to do. In this scripture, in this passage, it's our job. And it's something that if you are going all for it, it's not going to be hard. It's going to be easy. It's going to be something that you don't even realize. You're just going to be doing it naturally. And I am a firm believer in having a break. And so I feel that, you know, if people are, it doesn't always work that way, true, but if people are doing what, you know, we're all volunteering, we're all working as one body, then not everybody, you know, people won't be worn out. If we're all working together in the same job and working towards the same purpose, we're not going to get worn out. We're going to be able to have a break. We're going to be able to go on vacation. We're going to be able to do all those different things because we're working together. And, you know, I think that everybody should have a successful life and a nice house and all that stuff, but we have to remember what's most important in our lives. And it's not necessarily the best job that we can get that works us every hour of every day of our lives. You know, because the most important things in our lives is what God's called us to do, which is the work of the ministry. So that should be our number one goal. That should be on the top of our list, is what God has called us to do. It shouldn't be our job. It shouldn't be our family, though they are very important. They are number two. They should be number two on your list. But number one is God and the ministry that we're called to do. So if you find that you use excuses, well, I have to work, so I can't. Well, I have this thing with my family, so I can't. Well, I'm going out with my friends, so I can't. Those are all good things. But if you find that you say that all the time, and a lot of the time, probably need to check yourself. And I love you all, so I'm saying it with love. So, God loves you, and I love you, and I just think that sometimes we need to be reminded. And maybe, you know, if you're not feeling that there is any conviction in you or anything, then you're at a good place. No worries. Don't take this as a harsh thing. But if you do feel a conviction, then I would say, talk to the Lord and see what he's saying to you and see if there's anything that needs to change in your lives. So that was a time for it to be about us. We are the church, as it says in verse 4 through 6. We are the church. We are the people. And in verse 11 through 13, it says we are the ministry. We do the works of the ministry together and also in our own personal lives. And we are each single part of the body. And when all the parts are doing their job, the body is fully functional and it's healthy and it works. So let's remember why we do the things that we do. It's all for the calling we have from God and have chosen to follow in. It's about growing the body of Christ. So now, it's not about us anymore, but it's about them. So I hope that this is just a time for you to reflect on what God has called us to do and what we're supposed to do. So thank you. And, you know, if this business expo that we're going to be having going on will give you an opportunity that if you feel you have a place that you need to be volunteering in or that you're excited about, you'll be able to get the information. You'll be able to fill out a volunteer application if you'd like to, and then you can get involved. And really, when you get involved, you see the fruits, and when you give, you receive. And it's fun and it's amazing. There are times that, you know, I volunteered in this youth department and I got so close to the kids, and I loved it. And, you know, when they had a hard time, I had a small group of girls that we would do a small group on Sunday mornings. And, you know, when they had a hard time, they came and they talked to me because I had spent the time with them. I had, you know, I had grown a relationship with them. And so they feel that they felt that they could confide in me and that I could help them through things that they had problems within their lives, and that I could show them in the Word how it can help them. So it's very fun to volunteer and to help out your church, and it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So I'm just gonna close in prayer, and that's it. Lord, I thank you for this time. May have been a short message, but I feel that I've spoken what you had for these people today. I thank you for this time that you've given us, and please let us just reflect on, our lives and maybe some things we need to change or if we don't need to change. And I pray that you just speak to us and what you have for us and the steps that you have for us, especially when this new things are happening in our lives as school starts with maybe our kids going back to school, them getting involved in activities and stuff. Our life kind of changes sometimes. And so I pray that we just reflect on what we're supposed to be doing, what our goals are for this year, and all those things, Lord. And I just thank you for your word. I thank you that we can read it and know what you have for us and the ministry that you have for us. And just thank you for everything and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have anything else? Okay.
You know, God has, just like Katie said, God has intended for our lives to be very satisfying.